dbkmediaservices.com.
Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Well, hello, SVC fans, and welcome into SVC Sports Talk for our 194th show here in Season 7. My name is Bruce Knox, and it's great to have you along for another fun and fact-filled episode with the likes of these two SVC sports nerds to my right and left, who I will introduce in just a second. First, we want to get a mention of our billboard sponsor, that being, of course, the Triple Crown Family Fun Center. They're located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, just behind the Hampton Inn right off of Bridge Street, and they are open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Give them a call, 740-773-7529, and find them on the web for all kinds of good information at www.TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. First, we're going to say hello to the elder statesman here, the elder sports nerd, Mr. Shane Combs of SBC Sports Zone. How are you, Shane?
Oh, couldn't be better, Bruce. A really, really fun SVC week. Should be a great show.
It should be. And then, of course, to our returning young Mr. Derek Webb, the doctor, returning after a one-year respite, spent lollygagging around on a soccer field someplace near Londonderry, I believe. Is that correct?
That's where it was.
That's where you were last week when we were and we had to scrape the bottom of the barrel and to even find somebody that could keep up with SVC Sports Talk with Shane, and we did that by enlisting the likes of Mr. Matt Combs, who, you know, can fill in from time to time, but he's just so far behind you, Derek. He just, you know, in some respects, he's just kind of like, ew, you know, it's just what a, yeah, you know, here's the thing. I don't do a very good imitation of Matt, but my brother does, and I'll have to get him on here sometime. Well, guys, some are calling it championship week because we've got Southeastern traveling to Unioto in volleyball on Tuesday, and then, of course, Zane Trace at Unioto Friday in football. Just kind of kicking off things here, give you a little fair unfair. Do you agree, or is it this a bit extreme early this year to call this championship week? Shane?
Oh, I don't. I mean, I think it's completely fair. I mean, it's not going to be the first time or the last time that fans or media members, you know, jump the gun or hype something too much. I mean, you certainly understand why someone would say that. These two volleyball teams have certainly separated themselves from the rest of the pack. I mean, you could argue that that if they take care of business, we're going to be right back here. A couple weeks down the road playing for the rematch of the gold ball or the share. Now, there's going to be a lot of volleyball played before that happens, and this is an awfully good league of teams getting better. So it doesn't mean the second half is going to play out that way. It's certainly a scenario. On the football side of things, you know, Derek, when I look at it, you look at football, it's a one-round sport. So it's not like you get that second chance. It's, you know, if you start to get some of your football powers, you could argue that there's only maybe a couple teams in the league that can beat them. So anytime you get two heavyweights going head-to-head, it certainly isn't too much to say that, you know, you win this and you really put yourself on an inside track to at least sharing a title. I don't think that's jumping the gun at all.
No, I agree. I think, you know, at least whoever wins this Friday, you can at least say they put themselves in the driver's seat or they control their own destiny. I think we like those phrase a little bit better than, hey, they're going to win the league. But yeah, I mean, they absolutely control their own destiny. It's win out or keep going. Somebody's got to win Friday night. So whoever does win, if they win out, obviously that they control that. I do think Piketon and Southeastern are going to have something to say about either whoever wins Friday's game between Zane Trace and Unioto. So I don't think it's, you know, particularly just over. You know, if Zane Trace beats Unioto or vice versa, you can just crown a champion. I don't think maybe it's that far off. But yeah, I mean, I think they definitely have the driver's seat. They definitely have an advantage going the rest of the year.
I think you guys are becoming politicians, because I don't know either one of you if you mentioned the word fair or unfair. You answered the question, but neither of you said fair.
Oh, I thought I said it was completely fair.
Oh, yeah. I stand corrected. You are correct, Shane, but of course Mr. Webb didn't do that. So you get a star, he does not. Hey, last week, I know you weren't here, Derek, but we jumped right in with our playing through segment brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club. So we're going to it works so well at the first part of the show, we're going to keep it there for this week anyway. Our staff writers came up with that idea. And so, Shane, I'll let you take off on playing through.
Well, brought to you as always by Crown Hill Golf Club, 740-986-4653. Give them a call. Tell them SVCSportsZone.com as well as SVC Sports Talk sent you. And, you know, how fitting, guys, that it come from Crown Hill, because that's where we were this past week. SVC match number 5, Ty Schoblock just continues to really, really play. He was our Herbie Strange Athlete of the Week. Congratulations to him. After Elijah McCloskey of Huntington last week was, Ty takes the honor this week. And yeah, he shoots 36, his teammate Jacob Calvin at 38. And we talked about it, that 1-2 punch, guys, when they get it going, going to be really, really tough to beat. If you look at the standings, I'll give myself another star here, Bruce, yeah, if I'm allowed to do that. The we mentioned, with it being Crown Hill, if Westfall was ever going to jump in, mm-hmm, and make a splash, you know, we talked about that last week, about how we thought this could be the case, and it was one single stroke. And boy, is that one single stroke really, really important here, Derek, because now Uniota opens up a 4-point lead, 39-35 in the standings. We have just 3 to play. And, you know, you look at the all league standings, Schoblock and Calvin really setting a pace. And a lot of Uniota Piketon flavor. Westfall starting to show itself there a little bit on the list as well. But, yeah, obviously a rebuilding year. When you get down outside that top 10, like we talked about it, I felt like the scoring was just going to keep going up, Bruce. I mean, when you're going Crown Hill, yeah, when you're going JC's, I actually just went out and played 18 at Cooks Creek Saturday night with my brother and my nephews there. We taking a look at that course again as the SVC will be going there. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things, no matter what tee they play up a little bit, at some point throughout that 18-hole round, you're going to have to hit the driver. Mm-hmm. If not, you're just going to get the course is just going to swallow you up distance wise. So the 45 all the way to 45.3 there in those last 2-3 spots, I don't know that I see that coming down. I think anyone who in that mix there, that's anywhere from about 12 to 17, 18, 19, trying to get in that top 15, I think if they're able to play bogey golf, they're going to have a real opportunity. As far as the player of the year, certainly not over in a sport like golf, but Schoblock's obviously up there in nice control, and it looks like Calvin's going to be in that 2-hole there. But again, it looks like that top, probably 10 or 11 is pretty solidified to me, but things are going to get really interesting there. So, you know, Derek, when I look through, we had junior high golf finish up with Uniota team, and Maddie Schultz continuing to play well individually. So that's on there as well. But, you know, we'll get ready for SVC match number 6 there, heading off to JC's. But at this point, it looks like Schoblock and Calvin and company kind of in control, and has maybe we media members kind of looking ahead to the postseason a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to actually kind of hit on, you know, what I would say about the postseason. You know, this Saturday they have the JC Golf or the Zane Trace Invitational at JC Golf Course. Yeah. You know, a couple of the SVC teams, well, most of them actually are going to be there, but they're going to be playing against some of the competition that they'll see in the postseason. So I'm going to go cover that this week, just to kind of, kind of gauge how our local teams fare with the rest of this region. You know, we get so we're used to, I guess, them beating up on each other during the SVC golf season that, you know, we rarely kind of have that chance to see them against a Fairland, a North Adams, or you know, whoever it may be. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Shane. I honestly think Ty Schoblock we played fair or unfair is it championship week for football? I think for Ty Schoblock, I think it's fair. There you go, Bruce. I said fair.
Okay, good.
I think
job.
It's fair to say, as long as he continues to golf at any sort of level, like he can, you know, he's pretty much got the player of the year wrapped up in the bag.
Well, and keep in mind, too, Bruce, you drop that lowest score. So I always show that in red at the bottom of our golf page in of our Dr. Chris Good sponsored Good Health Chiropractic Center SVC Golf Individual Scoreboard. And that that red shows he's dropping a 40. So keep in mind, in these last three rounds, he can go out and, you know, play with one arm and shoot 70. And he's going to replace it with a 40. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So with that rule in place, you know, in all seriousness, as long as the kid doesn't get hurt or get sick to where he has to, you know, use that, you know, he's in awfully good shape for sure.
Well, we could all have a bad day, couldn't we? I mean, it happens to
everyone. I seem to have a few of them here and there.
Yeah, I have a lot of those, Were you going to say something, Shane? Maybe I missed it about the match upcoming, number six here. We got, you've got front versus
well,
back.
It is. On the JC's there, it's going to be interesting to see. A lot of times they don't announce that until a little closer to the event on JC's if they're going to play the front or back. And I love what Derek added there because the teams getting the play there will get a little bit of help going into, you know, postseason, or they get that 18-hole flavor a little bit too. But again, most kids in the area are a little bit more familiar with JC's because that's kind of the one remaining course here in the immediate local area.
Right.
So I don't get too concerned about kids from the different schools knowing that course because it's most of them have grown up getting a few more rounds there than say they would down at a Dogwood or out at Valley Vista or even up at Crown Hill if they're from Chillicothe. So that'll be interesting to see what side they play. Cause a lot of people that don't hit the golf ball very far will tell you the back nine's easier. And like I said, some of the shorter hitters will tell you it's four or five strokes easier.
All right. Well, that is our playing through segment brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call 740-986-4653. Fans, I know Shane and Derek can't help but be excited for Tuesday night. And next, two of them will discuss the SVC showdown that we've all been waiting for this season. Episode 194 continues now as we get into a little volleyball. And before we get into the main event, as it is coming up Tuesday night, let's talk first, Shane and Derek, about some players and teams that might be just catching your eye a little bit. Shane?
Well, yeah, I mean, I certainly don't want to just ignore the rest of the league here because there's some good things going on. You know, I think Adina's a work in progress. We love their non-league schedule. It's crazy difficult every year. That's only going to make them better. We see that some size at the net is hurting them, but the thing of it is they improve. The sectional and district level, Derek, this year, sectional championships, district semifinals in the past have been so lopsided. I just wonder if we're not in for a little bit more parity, a little bit more of a tough time advancing for some of these teams. Also want to give a shout out, you know, Coach Fox there at Paint Valley, so hard to rebuild in the SVC. That's why non-league games become so big. They get a nice win over the weekend with Smith and McFadden, you know, playing well. Dunn, when Dunn plays well, that takes them to a different level. The more I watch Dunn improving and playing on the volleyball court, Coach Norman there in basketball at Payne Valley has to be excited about her development. But guys, I tell you, individually, one of the best kept secrets so far in our league's been Hannah Unger. She's been terrific. Zane Trace off to 6-4, 3-3 in the league start under first year coach Cindy Davis. Bennett as well has played really well. But I tell you, I don't know that. I don't want to speak for everybody, but for me, I don't know that I had seen that coming. So, Unger playing really well. And then, you know, we know Piketon, kind of hanging out there in the middle. They're finding a way to beat those teams underneath them. Maybe still trying to find some of the ingredients to play with the higher level competition. But obviously anytime you have the two talents of Chandler and Morris and, you know, Conley, Lytle getting better, I think as their role players get more and more experience, that's going to help them in the tournament setting. And then the last team I would want to mention there, Derek, would be, had a chance to see Westfall in person the other night and their big road win, against Huntington. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a team that certainly does not lack size at the net. They play extremely hard. Darby Beavers is one of the better setters in our league. does a real nice job, plays extremely hard. Kristen Phillips, kind of a little coming out party the other night. She was terrific at the net. There was times, freshman or not, she took the match over. It was really, really impressive. Madison Staten in the back row. You know, Madison's probably not as a technical passer, say, as a Bossert, a Medina, or obviously a Pinkerton of Uniota, but I tell you, she plays really hard, seems to be around the ball a lot and keeps a lot of balls up. You know, the same can be said for Braden Collins of Huntington there. That match just had so many long volleys, and you know, I was just real, real impressed with the way Westfall comes on. In fact, Bruce, it's kind of a short audio, but I did have a chance to talk to Westfall coach Jessica Ernst there after the match. Do we have that audio?
Well, Coach, obviously been a crazy week for you. You're in 2 5-set thrillers the other night. You're up 2-1, if I'm not mistaken. And then just, you know, you obviously competed hard, set 4 and 5, and Piketon ended up sneaking out. You're up 2-1 again tonight. I couldn't help but think kind of the same pattern. How would you say your kids use what happened two nights ago to battle back tonight?
I had a couple leaders that in that huddle, they said, we are not losing again, and we are going to play every point like it's the last. And they stepped it up. My captains really did a good job. Kristen Phillips really stepped it up when we needed big hits.
Yeah, the other thing I'd ask you is you know, obviously the two teams at the top seem to be pretty elite, pretty balanced. But after that, it seems like, you know, from three down in the league, you know, teams like you are starting to really shake this thing up a little bit. Tell me what you like about your team, say, in the last small 2 weeks in terms of the growth from the beginning of the season to now.
I mean, they really started working together like a team, and my hitters have been hitting. My libero's really been stepping up in the back row, too.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, from seeing you early in the year until now, you're mixing some young kids and old kids, truly coming together. Really, really good win for you here tonight. You know, best of luck to you the rest of the way out.
Thank you very much.
Well, again, that was the Westfall head coach following that match, Derek. And, you know, I guess that's the thing is these other six teams are – it's not that on a given night, you know, in sports that they can't play well and challenge one of the top teams on an individual night. But I think they're understanding over the course of 14 matches in league play that these two are going to be hard to catch. And it kind of maybe has all of them – oh, I don't know, looking in the mirror and preparing themselves for their postseason trail, so to speak. I mean, when you look at these other six teams, some individuals, some teams that are jumping out at you and maybe trending in a direction that you like.
Well, you pointed out the one that, you know, that was kind of just on my mind all week. Like, man, this girl's playing out of her mind right now. And that was Kristen Phillips of Westfall. She leads the Mustangs in kills now. Just overtook Samantha Tackett for that, which who's also, by the way, a great player, good player at the net there for Westfall. But I believe Kristen is related to Hannah. I'm not 100% sure about that.
Yeah.
But you see where the talent and the genes come from now. I mean, we know how dominant Hannah Phillips was. Christened anything like that, you know, Westfall's got a bright future ahead of them. I would also say I watched Huntington as well a couple weeks back against Uniota, and I've just kind of watched their stats pull in. But Gus Hooks from Huntington, she's improved so much this year from last year. You know, as a fan, when I sit there and I watched Huntington last year, I thought, you know, man, that number four, I think she's number four. You know, she's got some upside, and then this year she's showing that. I would also say Alyssa Adkins from Paint Valley. You mentioned Kelsey Dunn, which is a great name.
Yeah.
But Alyssa's coming out of, you know, she's kind of breaking out of her shell now. Grace Mustard at the net there. She's in the top five in the area in blocks. You pair her with Kelsey Dunn at the net, and you've got some height there. So kind of anxious to see what Paint Valley can do in the Division IV postseason. And then, you know, last, you mentioned Zane Trace and Hannah Unger, but, you know, Evie Bennett has been her running mate the whole year. I hope I'm saying that name right, Evie or Evie Bennett. You know, she leads the team in digs, leads the team in aces. She's right behind Hannah in kills. I mean, so, you know, those kind that she's kind of been like Robin to the Batman, if so to speak.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, it's SBC volleyball. I mean, I know you said that probably expect some parity during the postseason, but, you know, I don't see that. I still expect the SBC to do just as well as they usually do. I mean, you know, look, you mentioned Adina. Yeah, sure, they're having a down year per se, in their sense of the word. But you know, until they get to Southeastern, if they're not paired in the same bracket, I could see Adina going to a district title easily, or even advancing.
Oh, no question.
Semi.
No question. Yeah.
I seriously think we have a shot to have still two teams in the regional semifinals at Logan. So it's just volleyball at its best, as it always has been in this part of Ohio.
Well, no question about our league, Bruce. I mean, Huntington just beat Alexander over the weekend, had a win over Portsmouth as well. So sure, yeah. I mean, a lot. The whole key is getting in the brackets where you don't have to beat up on each other before that point. Yeah.
Yeah, that's always kind of a bad thing when we see that happening. Well, let's talk about the big game that coming up a Tuesday night at Uniota as Southeastern travels in there, the Lady Panthers. Let's kind of break it down. There's so much we could say about it, but let's kind of keep it to about four different things, four different points here. First being the setter position. We've got two of the best in Uniota's Maddie Ebertst and Southeastern's Lauren Goble. So what do you think about that aspect of the play, Shane?
Well, I mean, it's no secret. People know that I really like the setter position, and I feel like that's the foundation of what you're doing. And I think these top two teams support me on that big time. You know, it's you know, in the 5-1 offense, Derek, I just think there's so much organization to what these two teams do, and it starts with understanding who's going to take that second ball every time. And you look at our statistics this week, where we do ours on an average per set or average per game played, you know, they're both right up there. Goble at 10-8, average at 10-5, and you know they both come at you with five different hitters. You know, with Southeastern, with Skeens, and Boldy, the way she's improved, Heiss, Collins, and DeLong, where on the Uniota side, they come at you with an athlete like a Taylor, an athlete like Cottrell. They have the great size at the net with McGlone and Fisher, and then obviously Hall as well. So, you know, they mirror each other in a lot of ways, and I just think that starts, you know, Maddie's been doing this a long time now. She's setting a lot of games. Her win-loss record speaks for itself as a leader. And I just can't get over how much Goble's improved from last year to this year. Her ability to kind of – when I say vision, I'm talking about their ability to peek at the net. And obviously that comes with great passing. So what Wilson's doing on the one side, what Pinkerton's doing on the other side, those things are obviously extremely important. Not to mention the passing of Skeens and DeLong and Heiss and some of those kids that are playing all the way around, the same as Taylor and so forth, Cottrell. But it's a situation of their ability to feel the block or to move the block. You know, the Goble really use that back set a lot of times to Boldy. That's been a big weapon here. And the stat sheets are telling the story for these two teams, Derek, the way these setters are moving the ball around the net. It's just a fun thing to watch, and I'm sure it will be Tuesday.
I think Shane likes the setter position. What do you think, Derek?
Yeah, I think so. There's a little bit of favoritism there. Yeah. You know,
maybe that's my point guard bias from growing up. I just to me, it's the point guard quarterback of the whole offense.
Whoa. Anything you want to say about the setter position and those particular two young ladies, Derek?
I think Shane kind of hit the nail on the head. I mean, you know,
all of them
out of. Yeah, all of them, right? I mean, what else is there to say? I mean, for you know, we know Ebers and Goble won 2,000 assists in their career, 1,000 assists in Goble's career, and she could probably hit 2,000, you know, by her senior year, which would be next year. I mean, I will say this, Shane. You mentioned that Goble has improved so much from last year to this year. I want to throw out Paul Tenado's name because that's the assistant coach who's really been working with Lauren just day in, day out. On setting, on you'll see Lauren kind of switch into her, or I guess put a little wrinkle in her game. She'll hit the ball over the net a couple times, and she'll dink and dunk. Just never know where she's going to go with the ball, which we've seen that with Lainey Shea at Edina. We've seen that with Maddie Evers at Uniota. So it's just another little thing she can put in there to keep herself at an elite level.
Let's talk next about net play. I mean, both teams have five legitimate threats across the net throughout their lineup.
Well, and Bruce, I mentioned those five there in my first answer, but I think what's interesting in this net play topic becomes the matchups. You know, when you look the way certain rotations start and the matchups you're going to get, I think it's going to be so important for the setters to take the ball no matter where it's passed to and find the matchups that they want to attack out of each of the six rotations. I think that's going to be really, really important because so many times in a lot of these matchups, if I'm being honest, it doesn't matter. You know, say they're so dominant at all three spots of the net, it doesn't even really matter. Mm-hmm. Where in this matchup, I think it's going to be a little bit more attention to detail on mixing and matching and finding that matchup across the net that you want. So on the net play, that's something I would really pay attention to early in the first set to see what you end up finding that might favor the purple and gold on one side compared to the blue and white on the other.
Derek, your thoughts on net play? Anything in particular?
You know, to me, I think when I look at the matchup, I look at, okay, who has the advantage? In the setter position, I think it's pretty even. It's a wash. At the net play, honestly, if you're talking about just at the net, you know, I think you have to go with a Southeastern. I know that's crazy to say because Union has so much talent, but Southeastern is just so versatile. I mean, you know, Shane mentioned all of the hitters they had, and I mean, I really think Rachel Collins is a big difference maker there. You know, you know about the Skeens, the Boldy, the Heist, I mean, and DeLong, but Rachel Collins, if she plays well, Southeastern plays phenomenal. If she doesn't play well, Southeastern kind of comes back off their game a little bit and has to rely on other people. So, you know, I think if that's for me, Shane, if Rachel Collins plays well, I think Southeastern has the advantage there.
All righty. Let's talk a little bit about back row play. How will these teams pass?
Well, you know, Bruce, what's interesting here is on paper or just using the eye test over the years here, I would give Uniota just the smallest advantage maybe in terms of passing, just with the ability of Pinkerton. I've watched her on the big stage perform at a high level. But maybe what offsets that is Southeastern's one of our best serving teams. So I think Pinkerton and company is going to really be challenged in their ability to not only dig the ball up when these attacks are coming at them nonstop, but it's going to be more in the serve receive, I think. It gets about three or four really elite serves. I mean, when you start looking across the ace statistic, you know, Goebel's up there at almost one per set played. Skeens is up there. She uses a nice athletic jump serve. Heiss is obviously very talented. Even DeLong has shown the ability about a half an ace per set. So I think Pinkerton, Cottrell, some of these passers are going to have to be really sound in the serve receive. Where Uniota, they haven't, at least in the early going, haven't really shown a real high level of serve to me. You know, a couple of them do it efficiently, but a lot of the ace totals and so forth haven't been as big a deal. Now, maybe their philosophy is, hey, let's serve to a spot, and we are so elite at the net, we don't want to make the mistake in the serve game. We want to go ahead and volley it up with you and play at the net. So that, and maybe that's a philosophy. But I just think that's going to be the big thing is in the serve receive, Derek, if Pinkerton is on the game, because I've watched her play at a really high level. Now, in this matchup last year, I thought she was the difference, where I thought one of the few times in her career I'd seen her struggle a little bit just with her energy level was in a loss over at Southeastern last year, mm-hmm. where when Southeastern came to Uniota, I don't know if you remember that atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Pinkerton was big time. I mean, she was really, really good. And I think that if she can bring that energy, this is a Uniota team sometimes that, you know, goes about it very calm, very businesslike, every now and then needs a little bit of that, I don't know the word, energy spunk maybe, that Pinkerton can offer them in the back row. So I think that's going to be an interesting factor there in the service game with the server C.
Derek, anything more on the back row?
You know, I would say the same. I talked about an advantage for Southeastern. It's yep. a wash at the setter position. To me, the advantage goes Uniota at the back row play. I just think Hallie Pinkerton's probably the best passer off a serve, off anybody who's serving in the league. But change right. I mean, Southeastern has some really good you know, servers that can they have like a knuckleball that just barely gets over that. If it does, it, you know, it's coming at you eight different ways. So that, I think that's going to be my favorite thing to watch Tuesday.
Okay, so we've kind of broken it down front, middle, and back almost. Let's talk about the X factors. What X factor might enter for Uniota or the Panthers, Lady Panthers, on Tuesday night?
Well, it's interesting to see what Derek might think here. You know, maybe do you like atmosphere? Do you like coaches? Do you like different things here? I mean, for me, the one thing that jumps out at me is going back to those two setters. Maddie Eberts has the ability with her size to get involved in the defense with her blocking, where a lot of times, you know, they'll pull Goebel off the net. And what will happen, Derek, is these really well-coached teams is they'll attack that setter by forcing them to take the first ball. Well, what that does is it can really take the 5-1 offense out of rhythm a little bit, because obviously once they take the first ball, they're not at the net to take the second. So a lot of times Maddie's ability to get involved in the blocking scheme puts up just another, like, you know, like Uniota needs another 5'9 kid up there with the wingspan of hers. But that makes life easier on Pinkerton and Cottrell, because, you know, it starts to kind of funnel the ball to them in certain areas where I think a big key for Uniota is trying to attack Goble when she's back on defense to see if they can't take Southeastern out of a little bit of a rhythm. So that, to me, is the X factor, is the ball control for the team that is maybe able to get the setter out of position a little bit. And that could be one way they slow down the offense.
Derek,
to me, I mean, you kind of mentioned it in your opening. I think it's coaching. I think, you know, Uniota has a new coach in Natalie Stelly that now they're still getting familiar with. They've only played 11 games. I know they're 10-1. But I mean, Natalie has not been in a game. Maybe this could be. I don't know, Shane, if you might agree, but I think this is a bigger game than Logan Elman in the first game Uniota played for these guys. Natalie hasn't been in this type of atmosphere, in an SVC type of atmosphere. Where on the other hand, Jimmy Hutton's coached against Uniota twice and beat him once. I mean, if we look back at last year's matchups, both were 3-2 games and both went to five sets. Southeastern. Won the first, Uniota won the second. So Jimmy knows kind of more, I guess, so about maybe this atmosphere, maybe the opposing, how to attack the opposing kids on the other side of the net. For me, I think coaching would be the biggest X factor. It's going to be interesting to see what decisions are made. May the best coach win, right?
Well, and I think that's fair. You know, Bruce, anytime you're a young coach, the first time you coach in a big game, it's the first time you coach in a big game. Right. But at the same time, obviously, Jimmy's been doing this a while, does a nice job. But I think at the same time, I should throw out there that Natalie has done a nice job throughout the early part of the year.
Sure.
Some of the things early in the year that were a little bit out of rhythm and things like that, to her credit, she fixed immediately. She's really got them rolling. So, I think we're in just for a real, real fun night Tuesday night. And really the winners end up being people like, us, Derek. Shane, get to sit and watch it.
I gotta ask you, Shane. Every time I talk to Natalie Stelly, she talks about how her team loves to be offensive. They want to attack.
Yeah.
Do you think that's advantage Uniota or advantage Southeastern?
Well, I think it comes from ball control. It's certainly, if you're controlling the ball and you're able to get your swings in the matchups you want them, then obviously it's advantage Uniota. But, I think Southeastern, again, I really believe that the serving of Southeastern and the serve receive of Uniota is going to be a big, big matchup that's going to tell the tale on this one.
All right. We'll see what Tuesday night brings. That'll be at Uniota, and we'll be all looking for I know some tweets out of the gym there that night, maybe a shot-o-matic from Shane, and we'll kind of stay plugged in that way if we can't be there. Let's head now to a look at the inbox, brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment. They're your source for all kinds of sports equipment, sports accessories, headwear, fitness gear, and, of course, local SVC school apparel. Find them at 116 East High Street in Circleville. Phone number there, 740-477-9828. C&K Athletic Equipment in Circleville. Well, as we look into the inbox, it seems we're kind of going back and kind of picking up things that we've had here. Shane noted to me earlier, the biggest feedback came from week one. And I don't know whether everybody knows this or not, but they should be on the lookout for this. On Wednesday night, these two young men sit down with a few other people and some friends from one of the SVC teams, and they have the Gazette's Roundtable at a nice establishment where food is available. That's why Shane is there, of course. But Shane, someone has pointed out and asked the question, what did you mean on the Roundtable about it being a good thing for Westfall to play Zane Trace while not being at 100%.
Well, just simple. I'm not saying that people agree with me. I mean, because obviously the rest of this email didn't, because they basically said you're nuts. Why would you want to go play the best team? And it's quite simple to me. I mean, if they're not 100%, you know, I'm not trying to offend anybody at Westfall, but you're not going to win at Zane Trace anyway. So it's one of those things that go ahead and play there now, get healthy. And I really think, and I said this on the round table, I really think Westfall is going to become a bear for some teams in weeks, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, when they get two or three of these guys back that haven't been able to suit up for them and play. So that was the only thing I mentioned. I just felt like in that matchup, it wasn't going to be one they were going to be able to win anyway. So why not play a team that you're going to probably lose to anyway, instead of a team where you might lose, you know, against a team that you could have maybe in week 8 or 9 at 100% been able to beat.
Derek, when he said that, did you quiz him on that and really kind of beat him up and let him know that there was that was kind of out there?
No, I didn't actually.
Oh, you let it go.
I let it go. With everybody looking at me at the same time, I just kind of get nervous. I'm not going to lie. So, you know, I just shut up and keep going with the script.
All right.
Derek has to play all host on that night. So he has to be like, he has to pretend to be a little bit more professional than just being able to sit here and talk sports with him.
Well, maybe one of these nights you won't be the host and you can sit there and be unprofessional like Shane or something like that.
Hopefully. That's the hope. Absolutely.
Well, that's coming up. While we're here on regarding the roundtable, I mean, I know this is SVC Sports Talk, but we want to kind of cross promote our other shows. Yeah. So this week on coming up on the roundtable, where are you?
We are at Jimmy John's.
Okay. All right.
And we will have the Southeastern Panthers with us this week. So 4-0 undefeated Southeastern Panthers.
All right. Well, we wish you luck. And that is being live streamed, is it not, now on Facebook? Is that correct?
Yeah, I think what we're going to start doing, we still have to, you know, figure out the logistics of it. But we, for the first, you know, 3 or 4 weeks here, what we have done is we've done a live audio on the Gazette Facebook page. So like on Wednesdays around 7:05 p.m., you can kind of log on to Facebook. I know you're probably already on there anyway, right? Mm-hmm. And go to the Gazette's Facebook page, and it'll just pop up, and I'll say, you know, the Chillicothe Gazette is live.
Yep.
And what you'll hear is you'll hear me and Shane and Mike Throne talking to the kids and the coaches, and then what we do at the end is we pick our games, like, you know, weekly picks or whatever, and we'll pick the winner of who we think is going to win each game, but we'll do that on camera. So you'll see a short little break, we'll come back live, and then you'll see our ugly mugs, and then we can just make your night, right? Yep. So Shane put a Paint Valley Bearcat head on like Lee Corso last week at Piketon. The Paint Valley was playing at Piketon. And I really thought I was going to have to give him a ride home. So, but it didn't happen. I was Piketon, they were good sports about it. So,
Shane, it's been said of Shane that he has a face for radio. So,
yes.
Yeah. He had to cover it up with something, didn't he? I'm really getting on you tonight, aren't I, Shane? I'll have to kind of back off. I don't want to get fired.
I've been coaching for 20 years, so I'm used to it.
Okay. Well, let's move on then to other things that came into the inbox. One person wanted to know your thoughts on the Unioto Zane Trace game.
Well, a lot of fun. I mean, if you like athletes, there's certainly going to be enough of them out there on both sides of the ball, Derek. I mean, both teams come at you with the ability to run it with 3, 4, 5 different kids. I think both teams, now that they're 5 weeks in, are certainly getting better at throwing the football and having some guys that can to create some space. I think you have the two best kickers in the league. Don't be surprised if they don't play a role. It seems like every week they're adding a field goal for their team and kicking the extra points at a high level. There's just a lot of things that I think really set the standard so far on paper. And again, Derek's mentioned it, the Piketon Southeastern teams and some of those teams are certainly going to have something to say about it. But when it comes to just athleticism across the board, these two teams certainly give us a lot of fun in terms of breaking down this matchup.
Anything from you, Derek, on that one?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I think, you know, Shane, to me, if you just look at this matchup alone, I think Zane Trace's defense is just really, really good. You know, they shut out of the Westfall team last week was Zach Gibson, and we've talked about how great of an athlete he is. He had negative rushing yards last week, negative rushing yards for Zach Gibson, who was in the top 5 in rushing yards, you know, throughout the first 3 weeks of the season. That said something to me.
Sure.
Now they're gonna, you know, I guess, face a different type of backfield with more weapons. A similar quarterback, a mobile quarterback in Gabe Fisher. But you also have Jamarcus Carroll, Dalton Poole, Chance Smith, Mike Klein. I mean, you know, it goes on and on, your list of worries for Zane Trace. So, but I think it's going to be a defensive battle. I don't think we're going to see a blowout. If you remember the last time Zane Trace went to Unioda, the Sherman's fans aren't going to like me saying this, but they got beat 63-0. Mm. Then, of course, last year, kind of got some revenge a little bit. But, you know, it's the return. And, I mean, it's Unioda Zane Trace. Like, in the SEC football race, what's better than that?
All righty. And Shane, you mentioned kickoffs or kicker play and how that's going to play out in Unioda Zane Trace. Let's talk another email here says kickoffs in high school football. They'd like your philosophy and opinions on kickoffs.
Well, guys, this topic seems to be growing, and maybe we'll have it as an ongoing topic. Maybe we'll even get some round table discussion, Derek, with it. But you know, some teams are kicking it deep and they're having trouble tackling. You know, some teams are trying to just squib it and it's killing them field position wise. Some teams are just simply having trouble catching the football and recovering it. There's a lot of different things out there. I guess a lot of it depends on how talented are you at kicker. I think the other thing comes into play of philosophy of, do you put some of your best players out there? Is that when you try to get them a break? There's so many different factors, Bruce. I guess I'll just kind of open it up for a week and see what people think. I mean, to me, it's something that you really, really got to work on, because field position is crucial, and it's certainly getting some teams beat that I've seen, and some of the feedback I'm getting, not just in the SVC, but talking to just people in general, it's a big factor out there. We saw it the other night, Derek. I know you were right down on field level. You ended up seeing some examples of it.
Yeah, and it's funny, because after the game, I asked Coach Gallagher about it. I was like, you know, each time you kicked, because their field goal kicker, on extra points, I mean, he had every one. I mean, he had eight field goals for extra points. He was 8 for 8. I'm like, man, this kid can kick. Well, then on the ensuing kickoff, he would kick to about, you know, the opposing 30, like a little pooch kick. And so I asked him, I said, well, you know, what's that about? And he says, you know, what we don't want to outkick our coverage. Mm-hmm. We know we can't kick into the end zone. We're not going to get any touchbacks. We just don't want to outkick our coverage. So if we can just pin them down on the 20, 30 yard line, okay. I mean, it makes sense, you know, to answer my question. But, you know, if you go to like a Chillicothe, Matt Deddy is a Chillicothe kicker, and I mean, he'll kick out of the end zone. So it's just a different type of football. I think it's a strategy type of thing for a head coach that knows, hey, we're going to, if we don't kick, if we kick deep, we're going to have the chance of them returning a kickoff to the house, which, as you know, Shane, creates momentum, puts points on the board, and you got to turn around and possibly kick it to them if you score again.
So. Well, especially when you're kicking it to the other team's best athletes, mm-hmm. and if you have a philosophy where you take a lot of your starters off the field. So think about it. You're kicking it to their best athlete in space, and you might have 5 or 6 guys that are all but JV players out there trying to tackle him. So I think that's a factor, too. It'll be interesting with Robinson and Fetters maybe in that game with Unioda Zane Trace, going back to that, to see how they use it, where, you know, other teams, I think, are going to have to really clean this up, because right now it's killing them in field position. In some cases, it's killing them in terms of winning the possession.
All right. So. And we can look forward to hearing from our listeners on that topic as well, and we'll give you the contact information here just in a little bit. Well, we got some other things that came in after week one, and someone was kind of giving us a few categories for the show, and their questions are these. What are a few things that go in the category of shocking to you?
Well, I don't know if shocking is the word I would use. You know, Derek mentioned the one about Gibson's rushing yards. That was kind of shocking. Not that I thought Zane Trace would win the game by multiple scores. To shut them out was very, very impressive. I was not shocked that Piketon beat Paint Valley. Obviously, I picked Paint Valley, as you mentioned, the Bearcat head a second ago. But I was shocked in terms of in the first quarter how Piketon, I thought if Piketon was going to do it, they were going to line up and run it with that experienced offensive line. I was shocked that they were able to just basically with the passing game do whatever they wanted in the first quarter. That was a little bit shocking. So those things probably jump out at me. I think some of the questions I still have. I probably need to see different matchups. Obviously, Southeastern's offensive line was the real deal the other night in terms of seeing where they are at compared to a year ago. I'm going to have to see different matchups later on down the line to be able to answer that. So those are a couple things that maybe jump out to me. Derek, I don't know if shocking is the word, but certainly things that catch your attention when the results start coming in from all the games.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that those a couple things that you mentioned, like you said, maybe not shocking. Honestly, I think it is shocking that Zane Trace had Gibson a negative rushing yards. I will say that's, to me, that's shocking. J.D. Blevins at Uniota, for Adina, but at Uniota the other night, he almost had 270 yards from scrimmage. He had 106 passing yards, 62 rushing, and 109 receiving. So he had a busy night, and that was kind of his breakout night. We know he could do it. Sure. He just hadn't done it yet.
Yeah, that yardage, so, Derek, that was kind of shocking. Was it to you, the yardage difference in that game?
Yeah. I mean, Adina, I think they outgained Uniota, and Uniota still wins by 21. But, I mean, that's, you know, turnovers, right? I will say this. I know it's SVC Sports Talk, but, Shane, I got to talk about Clayton Howell from Waverly. We've seen him live, but he was 23 of 27 for 350 and five touchdowns the other night. You just don't see that in high school sports. I mean, at the quarterback position, I really thought with Chillicothe's Brandon Moffmer, they were kind of at the same level, and they are if you take the whole part of their game. But Clayton Howell was 100% the best throwing quarterback in our area. And I don't know how you really refute that when he goes 23 of 27 for 350. So,
well, I don't. The only thing I would throw in there, in fairness to Brandon, is the level of competition. That Chillicothe in the first 5 weeks is playing a completely different level of high school football. So that would be the only thing, and maybe I'm being a little biased to our area, to our local kid here in Chillicothe, but that is the one thing I would throw out there maybe in his defense.
Sure.
Okay, we've talked about things that are in the category of shocking. What about a few things that would go in the category of things that were expected?
Well, I think in this case, the Southeastern offensive line jumped out at me. I just felt like in that matchup, it was going to be a bad matchup for Huntington, so that was certainly one. The Uniota defense getting involved the way they did. Now, I was surprised the amount of yardage they've given up, but I just wonder if that's not going to be who they are. You know, they're more about the big play. They've obviously proven in the first 4 weeks against different types of opponents that they can turn the ball over. And a lot of times their special teams and defense have proven, hey, we're not only going to take the ball when we get it, we're going to have the mentality of taking it to the house and score. So that's been impressive. The Zane Trace depth on defense, I think, has been expected. You know, early in the year, I wasn't sure if they would be able to average the less than 20 or not. I'm the first to admit that I'm wrong on that. I thought, one, Logan Elm and McLean and some of those teams in the non-league would score a little bit more. Obviously, Waverly did light him up a little bit, but I thought at least in some of these games that got into blowouts, that a Westfall, for example, Derek, I could see Zane Trace maybe winning a game like, say, 42-20. You see what I'm saying? Like, where for them to just dominate them. Now, obviously, the sack total has a lot to do in high school football with that minus rushing, but the sack total and things like that. But what's so impressive about Zane Trace is the way they get 5, 6, 7 guys with 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 tackles. It's just it's something that's really impressive. So that probably to goes there. So, yeah, I mean, there's some things that usually takes us about 2 to 3 weeks. We'll get through these two major matchups this week, and I think we'll be able to start to organize it a little bit better, Bruce. But I'd say that's how I would separate those two categories for now.
Okay.
Well, Shane, I don't want to like enter, you know, I guess shameless plug here. I went 7-0 in the picks this week, though. So pretty much everything I expected happened.
Yeah. No. The Bearcat head took me to 6-1, Bruce.
There was, right. But no, honestly, before I came in to this week, I looked up Carson Stouffer and Dakota Hauser's numbers. And I think if you look back on the Gazette's Facebook page, we went live with them after the game. When I read this stat off to them, Shane, Dakota Hauser, I think he almost had a conniption. He looked at Scarson like, are you serious? Before last week's game, they had 72 carries for 772 yards and 12 touchdowns combined. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now that those are great numbers. Now they have 115 combined carries for 1,043 yards and 19 touchdowns. Hmm. So I kind of expected them to kind of go wild, and that's what they did. I think that'd be the biggest thing for me out of week four.
All right. We appreciate those points. Shane, let's head up to the hurry up offense.
Oh, absolutely. We'll go back, give Crown Hill Golf Club one more shout out. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. Certainly appreciate Crown Hill for all of their support here on SBC Sports Talk. And yeah, Bruce, for the most part here, fans in the inbox or at a game, maybe face to face, but I tried to take all of the notes. A couple of them might even be about a week old, where I apologize to fans in the past. So a lot of times I try to use the hurry up offense to get some of the fan feedback in there, and that's the case here. So if you're ready, let's go ahead and go with the hurry up offense.
The show is constantly giving all the love to golf, football, and volleyball. Can we please have a comment on some top stories from cross country, soccer, or tennis?
Was this an email to me that I didn't see? but no, I mean, I'll tell you what, on the cross country side, Piketon's boys look pretty decent. They've had a couple top five finishes there. They just had one this past week at the Aaron Reed Invite at Southeastern. And then Zane Trace's girls have really been just kind of lighting it up. They took fifth out of 29 teams at Boardman High School, which is up in Youngstown. They were that was some of the top teams in all of Division III there. So I think you can expect two big things out of them. On the soccer side, I think Uniota Southeastern kind of lead the pack with Jayla Campbell there at Uniota. I mean, and then you go to Maddie Gum, Aaron Callahan, Amelia Willis, Sydney Free. I mean, they've got a perfect mix of seniors, juniors, and then underclassmen. So I think they're going to be tough to beat. They have dropped a couple head scratchers, what was going on that night. But I think they're going to be they have the potential to go on a deep Division II postseason run. Then in tennis, I think, Shane, we all know this about Sylvia Gray. She had her second perfect match just a couple days ago. I really think we're going to get to see her play at a high, high level. I'm not saying professional, but she's got the potential to get there. We haven't seen a tennis prodigy like this in our area for quite some time.
Well, I don't think there's any question. I think cross country will have its day here coming soon. A lot of times they kind of hide out, so to speak, or they go to their different routes in terms of what they want to get out of their regular season schedule. Obviously, you said it. Sylvia Gray is a big story. I think she's 13-0 now. Macy Brideball's really improved this year. I want to say, I don't have that in front of me, I want to say she's about 8-5, but it played a lot of three setters and has played some tight matches. So West Falls soccer team on the girls' side, Derek, has really caught my attention as well with the athletes that they've been able to put into that program just in the last year or two. It's a lot of the same basketball girls that I coached against that are growing as athletes and doing some nice things there. And then obviously Addie Mitten, some of their scoring totals. Campbell, some of their scoring totals are crazy. So yeah, they're certainly. I know sometimes on SBC Sports Talk we don't talk about it much, but the one thing I will say, I know in the Gazette, I know on SBC Sports Talk, if you check those pages, we're getting those names and those programs highlighted every night, so make sure you check that out.
I feel like we have good, almost great fall sports in the SBC. If you had to pick one factor holding our league's fall sports back from becoming really elite on the regional stage, what would it be?
Well, I mean, at the regional stage, there's some pretty big giants to play. I mean, if you look at volleyball, you look at the Tuscarora Valleys of the world. If you look at the soccer, you look at the North Adams, the Wheelersburgs of the world. And that's in every sport. I'm not saying that we don't play or our athletes aren't great, because they're fun to watch and they're great kids. But when you get to a Wheelersburg on a soccer field, or a Wheelersburg on a football field, maybe, Shane, it's just Wheelersburg. Maybe just take Wheelersburg out of Southern Ohio, we'll be good to go. But, you're playing the big boys. I mean, you're playing teams that are at the regional, just like you are, and they're there for a reason. So I don't think anything's really holding us back from becoming elite. I think we just have to kind of get over the hump and win a game. I think the bright lights, the atmosphere of the game, maybe some eye-openers at some point. But, we're there. Let's just win a ball game.
Well, I think those are all incredible points. Obviously, in the tournament, guys, the enrollment is set up to where the enrollment's not as much of a discrepancy. But the one thing I might throw out there is the enrollment to what we offer ratio. And what I mean by that is I think a lot of times what's happened in the last 15 or 20 years of following the league as closely as I have, our schools are starting to offer more and more and more and more. And this probably this could be the case statewide, but I just see it here locally. So all of a sudden, the growth of girls soccer, you know, might hurt the volleyball programs a little bit, you know, with those types of things. The same way volleyball probably keeps soccer from really putting the best athletes out there at times. So, you know, a team that might just be one, you know, 5'11 kid at the net away, or one more really good athlete in the back row passing, or the same way with football. If you're at a school where cross country and golf and soccer really takes a lot of kids, you hear football so many times being such a numbers thing. You know, it could be the difference in you having, say, 35 kids on a roster compared to 55. So I think a lot of times the more our schools have offered, it, man, there's a lot of things going on in the fall, and it really spreads your athletes around.
One fan says that here in southeastern Ohio in the SVC, we do not have many college athletes, and the ones we do have are probably smaller level. In your opinion, what sport in most years contains the most Division I or Division II athletes?
For me, I mean, it's no question it's soccer. You know, you look at, I mean, just right now, Shane, we have Eric Hutton at Wright State. We got Hunter Miles at Shawnee State. You know, we've got Luis Rivas, who is a McLean. We talked about Southern Ohio, though, at Otterbein. Then on the women's side, you got Rachel Hutton at Youngstown State. Ginny Campbell, who's ridiculous at Shawnee State. Jenna Porter, Allie Jones, Lexi Moffner. I mean, you know, the list goes on in soccer. So I'd say if I had to pick one, if you want to go to a Division I or a Division II college, to watch a local athlete, soccer may be your best bet.
Well, it's certainly a fair point. You can't argue with those numbers. Yeah, Bruce, I'm going to approach this question a little bit differently, maybe a little bit biased. I'm going to say baseball, and I'm going to answer it from the standpoint of not necessarily the kids who end up going, but I'm looking at the question in terms of level. I think what happens, though, is a lot of these kids, as they get in their sophomore, junior year of high school, they don't really attack that as their number one sport or their number one goal. And I think what happens is, you know, football, basketball, a little bit more media coverage. It's a little bit bigger deal on a Friday night under the lights or Friday night in the gym than it is the old 5 o'clock start on Wednesday night when there might be 20 people there. It's just a different atmosphere, a different exposure. Obviously, in baseball too, the Division I, II is just a little bit lower than the other sports because of the way baseball sets up. You have your draft for a lot of your elite kids. That takes some of your Division I athletes away. That's a big thing. Plus, the size isn't as big a factor as the other sports. You know, a lot of times in football, you might be a great player. Let's face it, if you're, you know, 5'9", 170 pounds, you're probably not going D1. You know, the same way in volleyball. You might be an incredible high school hitter, but if you're 5'8", you know, you're just not going to play at the net in college. So I think those factors there. But I think baseball, I see a ton of kids that have played at least a D2 level, that as they get into their junior year or so, they kind of shy away from maybe summer baseball because of other requirements or different things. So I just think that's an interesting factor.
This may be a completely unfair question, but do you guys feel our league could benefit from having a radio station in Pickaway County?
I don't think it's an unfair question. I mean, I think, you know, just from a media perspective, any type of exposure you get local athletes, you know, that we benefit from that, or our area benefits from that. Do we need one in Pickaway County? I mean, if you're looking at, you know, Circleville, Logan Elm, Tays Valley, and Westfall, I mean, sure. But you know, I think WKKJ does a great job when they're you know, at a game, or even when they're not at a game, with their roundups on online. And you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Shane, I would say it's not an unfair question. I just say, you know, I mean, we've got one here in Ross County.
Well, yeah, I don't think anything's an unfair question. I mean, I'll talk about whatever a fan wants me to talk about. I guess when I look at this, if you're just asking me as a fan, I could say, yeah, for just our league, probably WKKJ could just do SVC. You know, imagine I'm talking selfishly here. You know, scoreboard show on a Friday night could have all the SVC. You'd have some extra time. You'd have some SVC knowledge where you could break down, say, a Southeastern Union a volleyball game too. To be honest, I just don't think we're a big enough market for it. The more I've studied this in the past, I think Pickaway County drives a lot of the financial bus, in terms of their support. I just don't know. See, what happens, guys, is, you know, for like SVC Sports Talk, it's not even about money or about a market. This is just a hobby on the side where if I have five listeners that want me to do this, I'll do it just for those five people because I just enjoy talking about the league. You know, it's one of those things. WKKJ is a business. Chillicothe Gazette's a business. These are people that are looking at numbers and markets and things like that. So I think you're just talking about something that, yeah, selfishly, maybe, but I just don't know that financially if the market calls for it.
And that is our Hurry Up Offense, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Course, 740-986-4653. Give them a call and tell them the boys at SVC Sports Talk sent you. Shane, you know, I was thinking about as you were, first of all, the first question, I was thinking maybe that was sent in by Sylvia Gray when we wanted some some love. But, man, she is something to deal with, isn't she?
Oh, she's, and what's crazy is, you know when a kid starts having a second
a perfect game,
and yeah, it doesn't even like shock you that
right,
you're
mm-hmm,
you that you're really good.
Yeah, but this this number four question, I guess, because of my affiliation, if you will, and so forth with broadcasting and my love for that and so forth, I think if the economy, you mentioned they're a business, and that's what really drives the bus, so to speak, doesn't it? I mean, that's the business of another radio station. Yeah, we'd love the coverage, but it's just, are we just going to split the pie that many more slices? And is it going to really cause additional coverage or bring additional coverage?
We really need a Mike Smith feedback on something like that.
Yeah.
You know, just to let the fans know, you know, it's obviously Chillicothe has their radio. The KKJ does such an amazing job of saying, okay, we're going to cover the SVC games, but keep in mind, we are going to spread the wealth. You'll hear from Waverly. You'll hear from Sir. Now, as a sports fan, do I mind hearing those? Not necessarily. That's fine. I mean, I enjoyed listening to what the Mid-State League's doing or whatever. But selfishly, if you're going to tell me that the scoreboard show for 2 hours would be all SVC,
yeah,
I'd probably enjoy that more. But at the same time, you know, I think you have to be fair and understand that with these other people, a lot of times, you know, it's just going to spread the wealth a little bit. And that's something that that our area probably makes sense in terms of its market.
All right. Well, we'd love some feedback from you, the listeners. And Mike Smith, if you're listening, we'd love some feedback. But if you want to get in touch with these gentlemen and let them know what you think, first of all, for Mr. Webb, Dr. Webb, it's drwebb@chillicothegazette.com. And on Twitter, he's at DW1509. Shane is probably the best way to get a hold of him is through email at admin1@svcsportzone.com. And there is also two profiles out there on Facebook for Shane. And you can follow him at Twitter and communicate that way as well at svcsportzone.com. We're going to move into our C&K Athletic Equipment post-game comments, brought to you, obviously, by C&K Athletic Equipment, your place to get all your sports equipment, your headwear, your sports accessories, local SVC school apparel, and fitness gear, located at 116 East High Street in Circleville, 740-477-9828. It's a very busy week, Derek, and I know you've got a few things. We've already talked about Wednesday night. We probably talked about Tuesday night, too. But what about the other nights of the week?
They're just as busy. I'm somewhere every night. But I will say this, just for the readers and listeners out there, we do have a couple of kind of cool beyond the score type of features coming. There's a kid by the name of Lucas Meininger out at Southeastern. He's a soccer player there. Shane, he had part of his skull removed after a sinus infection was eating away at the bone, I'm understanding. So we'll have, and he's back playing. He's back. This was a year ago. He's back playing with the Panthers. He played two or three games now for them. So we'll kind of have a story on him. We'll also have a story on kind of what it takes to prepare for game day. So We're going to be following around either Southeastern or Zane Trace this week. Their football team in the locker room at pregame dinners, just kind of team dinners at their houses, whatever. Just kind of go through a full week of preparation of how do you prepare for 7 o'clock p.m. on a Friday night. So got a couple of those features coming out. And I'll also mention, then I'll shut up, but I'll also mention that, Shane, I don't know if you saw or not, but Adena Health System has teamed up with Clear Edge. And what they're doing is they're making it easier for our athletic trainers around the area to diagnose concussion symptoms, which is huge in the national media today. So they're going to actually have portable handheld systems where they can use on the sideline or at the school. Whenever a player gets nicked, they go over to them. They take this test, and it's not just how many fingers do you see? I mean, it's your balance, it's your cognitive, it's your symptoms. I mean, it's all fully. It's a full-time, type of thing. So we have that article up on the Gazette. And Elijah McCloskey from Huntington, we got some video of him going actually through that assessment. So it's pretty cool.
That'll be neat. Shane, what's on your mind in the upcoming week?
I did see that there in the paper today. Actually, Derek, that was good stuff, well written. Always enjoy those extra features. That's the one thing we love about, Derek being back, in terms of when I pick up my newspaper out of the driveway every day and I open up the sports, at least 6 out of 7 days, you're going to get a local flavor, which is what I want. I've always said that if I want to read about the Reds or the Indians or the Buckeyes, I'll buy an Inquirer Dispatch. So I really appreciate the local coverage. In terms of what's on my mind, obviously I'm going to rest up Monday night because Tuesday, Wednesday are going to be awfully fun. It's one of those things that the Tuesday volleyball match, I've said it before, SVC volleyball is something I really, really enjoy watching, especially when it's at a high level. The Wednesday night roundtable is certainly as fun as anything we do together, Derek. Obviously, we enjoy this show and we enjoy getting a chance to kind of focus in on football there. And then as we get into the weekend, the more as we get to the Friday night football and we start to see this league unfold, it's going to be interesting. You're hitting your halfway point. I know that basketball coaches are about a week or two out from getting some conditioning going, so that's always an interesting time of year. But we'll certainly have a busy week here in the SVC. So, guys, I appreciate another great week. Hope we get some good fan feedback. The fan feedback this week really ended up driving a good agenda there, and really enjoyed talking about these different things this evening. So until next time, we'll go ahead and get on out of here, and we'll thank Triple Crown Family Fun Center. We'll thank all the great sponsors on the website. For Bruce Knox and all the great people behind the scenes and at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportZone.com, where we are 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.